Hi there.
This is not another advertisement inviting you to a church where it doesn't matter how you dress or what kind of shoes you have on or promising you'll be home before kickoff and that our church is totally different and you will be comfortable without any pressure regarding religion. Listen, none of that really matters. The question is, does your life need to change?
Sunday morning, 11 a.m., 5833 4th Street in Lubbock, Rock City, a place for the soul.
RockCityLubbock.com.
Red Horse Radio.
Welcome, welcome.
This is your daily drive time gut check. Brought to you by Pastor Jeff McWright of Rock City. 5833 4th Street. We're Red Horse Radio.
We've got the next 30 minutes, so brace yourself and let's get to it.
We are just letting the Word of God speak for itself, primarily right now, studying through the book of Romans. Today we're going to be in Romans the third chapter. If you want to go ahead and get logged on or turned to or whatever you do these days for the Word of God, there is great value in just simply studying the Word of God. A lot of times we go to the Word of God for answers, and we should. Our whole service has been in that flow. Hearing the voice of God specifically for your circumstance, and that's a wonderful thing to do. But there are times where you need to just simply go to God and His Word just for growth's sake, just for living, but not necessarily with a problem. Studying Scripture, we speak around the Word of God. You know, we'll have an idea. Preachers do this all the time today. They will feel like their church needs a certain thing, a certain direction, or maybe people are in poverty, and so prosperity's on their mind, and so they'll go and get verses to support a topic, and that's fine too. That's called topical preaching, and it's very scriptural. It's important. But there's what I'm doing these weeks is called expository, and it's just illuminating the very Word of God, just verse by verse. And that's really where your spirit man grows. If you only go to God when you're in a crisis and you only seek the Word of God when you're sad or broken or lonely or in loss, you're never going to be a healthy, strong believer. It's just like when you get a little bit sick and you go and start pumping your body full of vitamins. And we talked about that, I think, last Sunday or the Sunday before, where if you do that just for a few days, you'll only change a color. You might get a little brighter yellow for a little while. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And I'm not talking about the sun. But you can't take vitamins for 3 days and then saturate your body and then really help you. You've got to keep taking them. And now they're finding that you don't need to take them forever, or you need to mix up, because your body gets acclimated to them, so you really should take vitamins for about 4 to 6 weeks and stop for a couple of weeks and take more, and your body doesn't get so adjusted or get to where it can just tune them out, so to speak, like we can people's voices. Did you know that the Bible says in the book of Revelation, see, studying the Word of God is profitable. The Bible says it's profitable for doctrine. When you rightly divide the word of truth, and that comes from study, you study Scripture and you get context. That's the most important thing that you can ever do when you're studying the Bible, is get context and make sure that Scriptures are in agreement with one another. Someone said text without context gives you pretext. In other words, you're going to get a summation of something that may not really be what's being said, and you'll go run off and try to build a house around that, and it may not work, and you'll find yourself saying, well, Scripture didn't work for me. Well, you might have taken it out of context. Because I could give you two verses. I've done this through the years a lot. I can give you two verses and totally misguide you. Two verbatim from Scripture. Number one, Judas went out and hanged himself. Second verse, verbatim from Scripture, go thou and do likewise. Now, we know that Scripture wouldn't tell us to do that, but it's verses. So you can't just go by the letter of the law. You got to understand context. Text without context is pretext. The Bible says in the book of Revelation that simply reading the Bible, the book of Revelation, you read it, chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3. It just basically ends up saying, blessed is anyone who hears this read. That's how powerful the Word of God is. Simply reading. Now, everybody's like, well, I don't want to read Revelation because I don't understand it. The Bible didn't say you'd be blessed if you understand it. I'm going to prove it to you. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. I want you, about the book of Revelation, I mean, this is like, most people think it's a complicated book. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. This is his report of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And verse 3 says, God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy. You can get blessed simply by reading Revelation. Just read it. You say, well, I don't understand it. It didn't say. You have to understand it to be blessed. He blesses all those who read it, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. So, yeah, you're going to get even more blessed when you obey, but you get blessed just by reading it. That's the power of the Word of God, and that's why expository ministry is very, very important, all right? Now, Romans 2, we're going to start out of the backside of Romans 2 to set up context, because Romans 3 opens up with a question. We've got to understand what the question refers to. So Romans 2, verse 28, for you are not a Jew just because you were born of Jewish parents or because you have gone through the ceremony of circumcision. Pay attention to this. This is interesting. No, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God. See, in the new covenant, there's a whole new Jewish family, so to speak. And you got to understand, the Jews were never of a bloodline. They were of a faith line. Abram at the time was a pagan man. And God gave him an assignment. He says, leave your father's household, your family, this area of Haran, and go to a place that I will show you. Now, what you may not know is Terah, Abraham's father, was on his way to Canaan. Canaan is the promised land. The promised land is what God was talking to Abram about, but Terah was on his way to go there, and for whatever reason, they got to Haran and they settled. I don't know why Terah didn't obey God, but evidently, he was on his way to Canaan, and they stopped. And the Bible says they settled in Haran. This is in Genesis chapter 11 or 12. And so God spoke to Abraham, verse 1 of chapter 12. You get out of here. I don't want you staying among all this settling. Haran was a place of settling. And he says, you get up and leave and take your family and all your possessions, and you go to a place that I will show you. And because God, in Hebrews, I think, it says because Abraham believed God, it was counted unto him as righteousness, and Abraham became the father of the faith. He became the nation. He started the nation of the Jewish people. So this was not bloodline. Now, a lot of people in the Middle East would tell you, it's a biological thing. It didn't start as a biological thing. It started as a faith thing. Just like your salvation is not a biological thing, it's a spiritual thing. That's why everybody of every color, of every race and creed and nationality is all the wonderfully esteemed family of God. That's why you can't mistreat anybody according to any of these external things, because the whole kingdom of God is spiritual. That'll take care of the race problem right there. People should be raised in church and get preached to, and we would never have this issue in our culture. So, a true Jew is one whose heart is right with God, and true circumcision is not merely obeying the letter of the law, rather it is a change of heart produced by God's Spirit. Now think about that. Biblical obedience, our performance, is of no value if your heart isn't changed. I'm telling you, that might be a little heavy, but that's the truth. Jesus said, many draw nigh with their lips, but your heart's far from me. And Jesus isn't after anybody except those that have their heart for him. Amen? And when we, you know, there's a lot of denominations that as long as you perform a code, as long as you perform a code, you're fine. As long as you show up to church and you give your money, people will call you a good Baptist or a good Presbyterian or a good Pentecostal. Outward performance. Your heart may be full of trash, but as long as the preacher sees you performing properly, they'll say that you're a good guy. But the Bible says it's not about being a good guy with outward performance. It's about where is your heart? Amen? Is your heart changed? A person with a changed heart seeks praise from God, not from people. So biblical obedience or performance is of no value if your heart is not changed. Many people live to please other people. A lot of people live to please their pastor. In fact, when my father passed away, I recognized after a few years of getting into that deal, I realized there was a lot of people that were living more for my dad than they were God. Because when he was gone, they stopped living for God. I'm like, now wait a minute. Jesus didn't die. And the Wednesday night before he passed away on Sunday morning, but it was Saturday night because it was 12:06 in the midnight. Wednesday night before he left, I mean, we have it on tape. He said, if y'all don't get me in my right place, I'm going to leave. And he said, I'm not going to leave gracefully. And the whole message was, you better be following God, not following a man. And then later on, years later, I see these people start to drop like flies. I'm like, wait a minute. Dude, you used to be an usher. You used to carry the altar around, and you were one of the guys that would, you know, get imbalanced and fall out in the front of the building. Please tell me that wasn't fake. But when a figure left, that's why God went to Joshua after Moses died, and he said, hey, stop weeping. Moses was just a placeholder for my people. He wasn't God. He's not the end all. God talked to Joshua this way. Stop mourning for Moses. He says, you get them, take these people exactly like I told them to go. Because my plan to take them in the promised land doesn't hinge on one man. Doesn't hinge on any man. Amen? Amen. Many people live to please themselves or to please other people or to please a letter. Some people give their money on a letter. Well, I tithe on everything. Well, hey, listen, don't brag about that. The hypocrites did too. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. See, some of y'all are like, y'all are like Pharisees. Y'all know the Pharisees, right? They were very arrogant, very proud. They always wanted everybody to know who they were. They were Pharisaical. The Sadducees, see, this is true. This will help you remember. You'll never forget who the Sadducees were, because I'm going to tell you some theology right here. See, the Sadducees didn't believe that there was resurrection after death. They thought that once you died, you were dead forever. That's why they were sad, you see. Me and Joaquin, man, we can figure some stuff out. So if you just say, well, I tithe on everything, you better be careful who you're lumping yourself with. Jesus said, you guys tithe on everything. You tithe on the cinnamon that you buy at the store. He said that. You tithe on all these spices. I tithe on everything, everything I get. I got a penny the other day, and I got a torch, and I cut it 10% off of it, and I chunked it. I put it in the offering plate. I mean, I got a perfect record with God. You know what? Sometimes God doesn't give a rat's rear end about that. If this isn't changing. You understand what I'm saying? Woo, I got a little rough there. Didn't mean to go so rough. Oh, Lord. So, dovetailing out of that, who's a true Jew? You think there's value in this? So he says, Romans 3:1, So what's the advantage of being a Jew? Is there any value in the ceremony of circumcision? Yes, there are great benefits. First of all, the Jews were trusted with the whole revelation of God. Now, I want to speak to people that have been around a long time. There's value in being a patriarch and a matriarch of the faith. Even if things are different today and they're not like they were in the old time religion, and sometimes you can feel like things have passed you by, he's saying, no, there's great value in being a part of the first group that got a vision or got a revelation and embarked upon something. When I look out and see the people that we have that were here in 1972 when we came to this town, I think about that verse right there. There is value in being a long-time believer and a holder to truth. When I went to the hospital to see RL the other day, my opening line of my prayer was, I said, God, thank you that we have a lifestyle of turning to you in times like this. We didn't just start this yesterday. We've got a discipline. A lady in the RG told me today, she came over and she said, after we rehearsed, she said, man, this church is so incredible. She said, think about all these things that people have gone through, and we just go through it. She said, we just go through it. There's value in that. That's why you don't want to quit. I've got way too much vested and invested to quit. Amen. I got too much invested in my family and my wife to quit. I'm not going to quit on my wife. You're crazy. I got 18 years with her and three daughters that have been released from our house. Kicked a little out, but I mean, you know. On the outside, it was released in tears, and we shut the door. And we're like, "Yippee! Right on, baby, let's go." I'm just playing. But we have a son right now that's still in the blacksmith shop. He's still on the anvil, and he's being carved and cut and created. I'm not gonna be so weak that I just trash all of that. And that's the way you ought to feel about your life. Don't quit. There's a value in holding out. There's a value in being true to something and standing up for it. Plus, I'm not going to dare let some other guy get hurt. I'll go to prison for murder. I'll start a prison ministry the first day I'm there. Our souls are going to be in these bars, but brother, our bodies are going to be in these bars, but our spirits are free. And that fool didn't get my girl. Come on, that's the pride you ought to have in what you have. You ought to hold your job that way too. It may not be the highest paying job in the world, but that's your job. You've been with that company a while. You know, I mean, that grieves me when people leave church. Leave churches. You know, they just go to somebody else. Flavor of the month. Somebody starts a new thing and they promise to let you out in 45 minutes. That's because most of those guys couldn't preach their way out of a wet paper sack, and they can only hold your attention about 30 minutes. And if you're sleeping in 30 minutes, I'm gonna throw the book at you. Hey, there's value. There's value in longevity. Lord, that's only verse 3. That's verse 2. Verse 3. True, some of them were unfaithful. But just because they were unfaithful does that mean God would be unfaithful? Of course not. Even if everyone else is a liar, God is true. As the scriptures say, and listen to this, this is heavy. As the scriptures say, you will be proved right in what you say and you will win your case in court. He's talking to God. Let me let you in on something that you may not know. Did you know there's about to be a big hearing on planet Earth? That's what Paul's talking about. God is about to be put on trial, so to speak. That's why Jesus said, hey, you be witnesses of me. Because when this court case comes down, we're going to line witnesses all around the world. And we're going to prove that what they thought was fake is very real. Amen. The Bible says in Malachi, you thought it was vain to serve the Lord for a long time. But he says the day is coming when it will not any longer be vain to serve God. And it'll be easy to see who is a true believer and who is not. And that's that court case that's about to happen on planet Earth. And God's going to win it. And I hope you're on the right side. I want to be on the right side. I want to be on God's side in that room. I've been in court hearings, you know, as a character witness. Well, I get nervous when people call me and ask me to do that. Because, you know, you always learn more things when you get in that hearing. Because there's not just their attorney. There's this other guy. He's the prosecutor. And he'll start bringing out some things about this person you thought you knew, and you're like, oh, God. I walk out of the courthouse just like this. God's going to win this case. See, the devil's already defeated. See, if we really listen to the word of God, man, he's already defeated. Jesus made a fool out of him on the cross. That's what your Bible says. He made a show of him openly. I mean, think about that, man. I mean, it's like Jesus just totally humiliated the devil. And you know, the Bible says that there's coming a day when the world, not us, we already know he's a fool, but did you know the Bible says there's a time when the rest of the world is going to see the devil and they're going to actually say this, is he really the one that deceived us? He deceived us? Because you're going to find out he's just he's a fallen, defeated foe. And we run away from him like he's some big monster. He's defeated. And like one man said, he said, the next time the devil tells you about your past, you just remind him of his future. It ain't going to go so well. I got to hurry. Verse 5, but some might say our sinfulness serves a good purpose because it helps people see how righteous God is. Ladies and gentlemen, that's foolishness. Some people actually make the case that, well, you know, when God forgives me of my sins, when I sin over and over, it just shows that his grace is everlasting. So, you know, I'm really an evangelist. You're not an evangelist, you're a sinner. Isn't it unfair then for him to punish us? This is merely a human point of view. Of course not. If God were not entirely fair, how would he be qualified to judge the world? But someone might still argue, how can God condemn me as a sinner if my dishonesty highlights his truthfulness and brings him more glory? And some people even slander us by claiming that we say the more we sin, the better it is. He said those who say such things should deserve to be condemned. Well, then, should we conclude that we Jews are better than others? Not at all. For we have already shown that all people, whether Jews or Gentiles, are under the power of sin. I want you to really get that right there. Every human being, doesn't matter if you were raised around Christianity or not, doesn't matter if you understand the word of God or not, doesn't matter if you perform in goodness or badness, everybody is under the power of sin. Prior to, because remember, I've told you this over and over, sin is not an action. Sin is a state of being. We're in Adam. When we are born, we are in Adam. I've told you, every baby you hold, I mean, right there in the nursery or in the birthing center of a hospital, they're so beautiful and they smell so good. But I'm going to tell you, if they don't get born again, they will go to hell because they're born in sin. We are all born in Adam. When we get born again into Christ, we die to Adam and we come alive to Jesus Christ. So it's a transfer. He takes us out of the state of unrighteousness and he puts us in the state of righteousness. Now, that doesn't mean that you'll never make a mistake. It just doesn't mean you are a mistake. See, I can be in Oklahoma and still live like a Texan. Just because I physically go to a different state doesn't mean that I change my conduct. So, if you believe on Christ and you believe that he was the payment for our sins, then you're transferred into righteousness. Now, you can still sin, but you're not a sinner. A world of difference in your mindset about yourself like that. So that's what he's trying to say. Everybody's in the state of sin. No one is righteous. Not even one. No one is truly wise. No one is seeking God. All have turned away. All have become useless. No one does good. Not a single one. Their talk is, because you can't do good. If you're in bad, when you're in negative, there's nothing you can do good in negative. I mean, if you're standing, it's a gross analogy, but if you're standing, I don't know about you, but if someone is standing in a septic tank, I'm not taking anything to eat from them. You say, well, this is a good hamburger. That hamburger might be good, but the hand of the hamburger is bad. I'm not taking food from someone standing in a septic tank because you're in a bad environment. I can't trust that. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all heard the story about the preacher was called to do a funeral service out in this remote cemetery. He got lost going out there. It took him about 40 minutes. He got there very late. So he got out of his car and he saw a group of men standing over there. He just ran over there, and I mean, he just broke into his message, and he sang Amazing Grace, and it was a beautiful, eloquent message, man. It was just beautiful. These guys, they couldn't believe it. I mean, they were just like, wow. And he gave the most beautiful message about life and heaven and, you know, people who die and all this stuff. And he prayed at the end. He closed his Bible. He went and got in his vehicle and left, and those three men were standing there. And one of them said, I tell you what. He said, I've never been moved in my entire life. And he said, I've been setting septic tanks for 30 years. Wrong hole. Don't let your mind wander off on that statement right there. Nobody's good. Their talk is foul, like the stench from an open grave. Their tongues are filled with lies. Snake venom drips from their lips. Their mouths are full of cursing and bitterness. They rush to commit murder. Destruction and misery always follows them. And he's talking about everybody. If you go back to the top of the list, he's talking about everybody. Everybody's under the power of sin, and everybody does evil. And you say, well, I've never done murder, but you're in the septic tank with murderers or liars or whatever. So it doesn't matter what you do. You didn't get in the septic tank by your actions. You got in the septic tank by Adam's actions. And everybody that comes from the tank stinks. You're infected.
Well, there it is. Red Horse Radio. We'll be here every weekday afternoon at 5:30. Red Horse Radio is brought to you by Pastor Jeff McWright. With Rock City, 5833 4th Street in Lubbock, Texas. Come join us at 11 a.m. every Sunday morning and find us on the web at rockcitylubbock.com. And remember, be here next time for Red Horse Radio.